Welcome to the Gorfine Schiller Garden podcast series. As part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, there are some aspects of this legislation that directly impact nonprofits, most notably the unrelated business income tax, otherwise known as UBIT, which is imposed on qualified transportation and parking fringe benefits. And today we're speaking with Tom Colgrove, who's a supervisor with Gorfine Schiller Garden, about the implications of UBIT on nonprofits. And Tom, how are you doing today?
Very good. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Sure. It's a pleasure to have you here. And let's kick it off at a high level. If you don't mind, tell us or give us an overview of what UBIT is and its impact on nonprofits.
So as you stated before, the acronym UBIT stands for Unrelated Business Income Tax. It is generally imposed on activities that are unrelated to a nonprofit's exempt mission. So for example, if your tax-exempt mission is to provide low-income, affordable housing to the homeless, and you begin making such housing available to those that aren't homeless, such an activity could possibly be considered unrelated to the exempt mission of the organization, and you'd be required to pay UBIT with Form 990-T. So today, I wanted to focus on a little-known statute that was enacted as part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that could potentially affect every nonprofit negatively, this being Code Section 512A7 relating to employee-provided fringe benefits. So effective January 1st, 2018, this new code section treats as income the cost of providing transportation, parking, and on-premise athletic facility fringe benefits to your employees. You may ask yourself, since when is an item of expense considered income? And the answer is this new code section 512A7. The reason our legislators enacted this particular statute is because they wanted the nonprofit community to feel the pain of the for-profit community who is losing the equivalent fringe benefit deductions as a part of the 2017 tax reform. This obviously is a major blow to nonprofits in general and even affects nonprofits who don't have to file Form 990, for example, churches. This new tax clearly affects nonprofit employers who reimburse or outright pay for the cost of parking and transportation benefits for employees. I'd like to stress this new code section has significant gray areas, the largest being the situation where an employer owns or leases a parking lot and provides parking benefits for free to its employees. In this circumstance, the new code section is very unclear as to how the capitalized cost of the parking lot is to be included in UBIT. This code section specifically states that the secretary shall issue such regulations or other guidance as may be necessary or appropriate, including those to provide for appropriate allocation of depreciation or other costs with respect to facilities used for parking. If this is indeed the situation our legislators intended, almost every single nonprofit in the United States will owe tax on the cost of providing parking benefits to its employees.
You know, that's a great rundown there, Tom, and thanks for that. And if you don't mind, this is certainly significant news. And if you don't mind, give an example of how this actually would impact a nonprofit, say a large nonprofit based in an urban environment.
Sure. So let's take, for an example, like you said, a nonprofit in a downtown urban setting. This nonprofit has 300 employees and reimburses each $200 per month to park in a garage owned and operated by a third party. 300 employees times 200 a month is $60,000 times 12 months is $720,000 of taxable unrelated business income. At a 21% rate, which is the newly enacted corporate rate, this nonprofit would owe $151,200 in tax. And before you ask, no, you are not dreaming. This is the cold reality of the new tax reform.
Wow, it really is. You know, when you break down the numbers like that, it really is sobering. And let's shift real quick. I understand that everyone is waiting for the IRS guidelines around UBIT. Like you mentioned, there's still not clarity there. So what is your guesstimate as to when the IRS guidelines will be available?
Since I've gathered is that there's a very good chance for this fringe benefit tax to be delayed. The IRS originally slated to have guidance to us by the end of June 2018. That obviously didn't happen since it's almost a month later now. I would predict that if we're going to see a delay in the effective date of the tax, the news would probably come before the end of 2018.
Got it. Good insights there. I think that's probably a great guesstimate on your part and very, very insightful there. And speaking of other organizations who are spreading the word and addressing this, let's talk about the AICPA. I understand they've been doing some stuff to address UBIT.
Yes, the AICPA has written comment letters directly to the IRS addressing the lack of guidance relating to this particular code section in addition to other parts of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. There's been some back and forth that I'm aware of. For example, the IRS has since stated that an employee can't simply increase an employee's W-2 taxable income by the amount of the qualified fringe benefits simply to sidestep paying UBIT and filing Form 990T. Again, we're still waiting on further guidance.
Interesting. You know, Tom, any parting words here of advice for nonprofits with regards to UBIT?
Sit tight and wait for the IRS to issue guidance relating to the gray areas that still need to be addressed. Additionally, you can also give us a call and see how the 2017 tax reform applies to your nonprofit.
That's perfect. What a great way to end this podcast. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Gorfine, Schiller & Garden podcast interview with Tom Colgrove, a supervisor with Gorfine, Schiller & Garden, who was kind enough to share his insights on the impact of UBIT on nonprofits. And they are certainly very significant potential impacts for nonprofits. And Tom, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me, Matt.